Roll Around the Barrel Vintage Baseball Podcast, coming to you on the road today from beautiful Romulus, Michigan. Just look at it. The birds are chirping. I saw a rabbit earlier. There's not a leaf to be seen. It's spring, everybody. Or is it winter?
I think it's still winter, technically.
It's winter, everybody. It's spring on the 21st.
Something like that, week away or so. Not bad.
It's winter. What are we doing here? Oh, yeah. Co-hosting on this lovely day in Romulus, Michigan, as we come live from the live to tape from the deranged haunt that I've been at way too many times.
Some would say not enough.
That would be you. Here is my co-host, Mike Marbles-Feeney. Mike, welcome to your first official hosting duties.
Interesting. Glad to be here, I guess.
I'm already impressed of your hosting duties because I said duties. You didn't even snicker.
Nope.
It's great. You're a much better host already than you are a guest.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So Mike Feeney coming to the show as a co-host, joining Jeff Kozlowski, joining Rudy Frias, and joining me. And I think that's it. We're tapped out. We got Landon Smith for the road stuff.
Nobody needs him.
I mean, we're way overstaffed.
Absolutely.
For what we do. Yeah. Which is practically nothing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Mike took the reins on this day of recording, and he booked the guest, so I can't be held responsible. So, Mike, go ahead and introduce your first guest.
All right. Here we have Brian Cannon Parker from the Flat Rock Bear Clan.
Hey, thanks for having me. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks. Brian, fresh off his win at the World's Tournament, the much-maligned Bear Clan of Flat Rock, Michigan, that would come ever so close. Always a juggernaut, never a champion. And then the monkey came off the back. Brian, my first question is going to be this, before we get into the usual mundane vintage baseball stuff that we have to do here. How did it feel to get that monkey off your back?
It was unbelievable. I'd say fourth time was a charm for us. And I was speechless. I couldn't even, like, the whole process of just going through the end, getting the trophy and all that, it went by so fast. I think the year we won it, they didn't have the mugs because there was.
I was going to say, speaking of the trophy, I don't feel like you guys got a proper.
We got a potted plant, I think.
What? Were you aware of this?
Yeah, there was an incident at the.
This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Yeah, there was some sort of mix-up where they didn't have the trophies made. I think there was somebody that switched over in department, so they didn't have the proper trophy. So they just kind of grabbed something out of the gift shop for
them. We got a potted plant that I think is at, went home with a hammer.
Did but, they?
We got the gold baseball. So
did they make
cool.
them later?
No. I mean,
are you getting?
I think the runner-up trophy is actually cooler, so I'm kind of glad we didn't
are
win.
You getting?
Yeah, that's, Mike gave it to us.
Are you getting awarded a trophy next Worlds?
I don't know. We didn't get the mugs. We didn't get the mugs, the cups. We got our name on the trophy, but you know what? That's
you like the big ring trophies. They did not have them.
But
we just had a door close on its own.
Yeah, that's crazy. But it was unbelievable. Like, I'm not speechless very often, but it was such. When I caught the ball after a dirtbag hit at the deep left field, it was just like a weight just lifted off off my shoulders, and like we're a team full of four hitters with a
yeah,
true.
We got me and Johnny and the one and two, and then it's anybody after that. It could be three, four, five, six. It could be.
And you've been leading off, right? You're the
actually,
number one
yeah,
hitter,
yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like
we did switch.
You're not a typical number one hitter when you look at baseball.
Yeah, you don't look at your one hitter as a 220-pound guy.
Well, you're the speed of the team.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Speedy left fielder.
I tend to believe that you guys won because you changed your uniforms to baby food.
Oh, they were so bad.
Oh, those are great. I love those.
So bad.
Yeah, in the off season, I can't remember. I think Stash might have been the one that started it, Pat. And
of course it
was. We pulled up. We were looking at like the old original Athletics jerseys.
Okay.
With the yellow, with the green pinstripes. Well, because we can't go green. You guys got the green, and we wanted to get away from just the gray. And we kind of were going looking at yellow, and we didn't want to be too bright because, we didn't feel it would be vintage enough to be bright yellow. So we're like, we don't want to go a little bit of like a dirtier, muddier, whatever yellow. And, man, when I first saw them, I fell in love with them. And
I first saw him.
I loved it when Rudy he put the comment. He said they could. They said they it couldn't be done. They said they'd never pull it off, but they did it in the yellow jerseys. Yeah, I love those things.
I feel like this has to propose some sort of new tournament between Flat Rock and Bay City, where the prize is a hot dog and it's just ketchup versus mustard.
Well, Bay City doesn't have the ketchup anymore.
Oh yeah,
they're all right. They went back to the all classic whites making wives miserable across the club.
Yep.
Grass stains are the worst. So you guys can you don't even have to wash your uniforms. They look like strained baby carrots or whatever peas or I got a sneak peek of the uniforms in Flat Rock.
Okay.
Oh, what was the COVID event? It was the COVID
Uncle Sam. You hosted this.
You destroyed everybody, oh. And then ESPN refused to put it on because it wasn't entertaining enough.
Sorry.
I don't know why I just say that. Yeah. They didn't put it on for whatever the negotiation happened. I had nothing to do with that. They just said, put on an event. I did it, and they said, thanks, we're not using it. Fuckers.
Is that footage out there anywhere? Or is they've just held on to it? And it's...
No, that I don't know. I don't talk to them people. Okay. Those are bad people.
ESPN.
No, not ESPN. The people that showed up that day in Flat Rock to do the event, they don't work for ESPN. They're contracted in by ESPN.
Okay.
I'm not going to say the name of their company, gotcha. But they are bad people.
Yeah.
I don't know. That event, I was, like, so nervous to say anything. I'm like, I don't know, these mics are picking up or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't Uncle Sam.
No, because we didn't have the jerseys at that point.
Yeah.
It was, I was there with Jeff Kozlowski. You were there, but you were playing. Columbus was there. What's the event?
That's our first one of the year. That's the Flat Rock Invitational. We had the mock-ups, one of the mock-ups probably.
But it didn't happen during COVID in 2020.
No, it was last year.
That was Uncle Sam. So I was at the Flat Rock Invitational. They had one with them. Yeah. And they showed it to me, and I thought, baby food. I'm like, I can't wait to see these on the field. It's baby food. And
thrown those in the river when you had the chance.
But to Brian's point, everything he said about why they picked the colors that they picked makes sense now.
Yeah.
But it'll never change for me. Okay.
Have you guys lost the game in those uniforms yet?
I think we've only played. Yeah, well, we didn't win. We didn't win the State Cup.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't win the State Cup.
You guys
Cup.
Did wear those to that.
I said we only wore them twice last year, so we got them like the night.
Might be lucky.
We got them like the night before the World Tournament last year. It was like a big, what jerseys are we going to wear? Because not everybody had them yet, and some guys were getting dressed that morning in the bathroom because we had just got them.
Well, this is how you start inner club strife, Brian. Who's mainly responsible for not winning the states?
I don't even remember who we lost to. I still had the World Tournament on my mind. I don't even remember who we lost to.
It might have been us. I don't remember. I remember Mayer was soaking wet after swimming in the pond.
Yep, I forgot about
I've
that.
I've seen those pictures recently, but aside from that, I really don't remember the day.
I love the Mayer. Did you guys want to talk about the trade that happened in the offseason while we're here?
I found out about it not that long ago. I don't even know if we got a bag of peanuts.
Kyle's actually a friend of mine. He came... when I just started that Frankenmuth Club, just so I could have the festival, he came and did that with me and helped me out big time with the festival. And we've stayed friends since then. So no offense to Flat Rock, but I'm glad he moved to Canton just because I always seem to be wherever you're at.
That is true. Yeah.
I can't get away from you. Although I did see your schedule, Mike. I'm not following you around the country this year. Brian, what's the schedule looking like for Flat Rock this year?
We actually trimmed it down some this year. You know, got kids and everything else, and
I'll give you a second.
Trimmed it down, and I noticed a few less dates, but you guys are still doing quite a bit.
Oh, we're
of
still traveling.
Like,
yeah,
you guys are still doing big events.
Yeah, we got, looks like got about eight dates. We got our invitational. We'll kick off the season May 4th, and then we are going to Gettysburg again this year. And then we're going to Field of Dreams the end of August. So.
Gettysburg's one of those events for here in the Midwest that's almost like a thank you to your family for putting up with vintage baseball because they get to go and experience something that's not baseball, but you love that. You don't know, Mike.
Yeah, Pokemon
but
Go
your
out there
kids
great.
And your wives can go and experience some history. And they can actually feel like they're going somewhere and not have to deal with 10 hours of vintage baseball. So it's almost like a thank you to them. Like, that's what I thought of Frankenmuth as.
See, I don't
was bring your family and your kids and thank them for dealing with you.
I tell you what, when we go to events like that, and Field of Dreams will be close to that too, but I swear my in-laws look forward to it as much or more than I do when it's time to go. They're like, okay, we'll get the motorhome ready and let's head out.
I definitely feel that way. Probably about the spouses, but the kids, I don't know if the kids are on board for a whole day of history. Because me as a kid, like, I watched vintage baseball at the Village, and that seemed way more interesting to me at the time than anything that was at the Henry Ford. Well, maybe things have changed a little bit now as I've gotten older, but as a kid, it's just like,
but I think kids like,
a little more stimulating.
Kids like that, maybe in the minority. Now, I agree about the history thing. Have you taken your kids to Gettysburg?
Yeah, they like, they don't want to leave the pool at the campground. So, but they do look forward to that. They look forward to that. But yeah, we do take them around downtown and look at, you know, the statues and whatever they got in the, you know, town square there. And, you know, a little bit. We don't take them any of the big tours. They're only Avery's 6, Jade's 4. And
perfect for the ghost tours.
Charlie's only 1. So, yeah, it's not.
So, is there.
That's all past their bedtime.
Yeah. Is there an event that you guys go to, have gone to, or have on your schedule that your wife. Speaking of your wife, you've completely outkicked your coverage, my friend, as she is gorgeous, and her smile lights up my Facebook every time I see it. I'm like, Brian, you son of a bitch.
I don't know if you know.
You've done it.
I don't know if you know, but we got her to play last year, and anytime I show the picture of her in uniform, she gives me so much shit. She's like, quit showing that to people. But, man, it was
It wasn't an altered uniform. It was a men's uniform. Like,
yeah,
you got to get her the women's variety of that.
But
she honestly played really great.
Yeah, they were.
Did she play because you were short, or did she?
Yeah, that was when Satchel tore his bicep tendon, and
so he put on the dress and sat on the sidelines.
But she hit real well, and I think she fielded a couple.
Yeah.
I think we put her at second base.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Well, I mean, I think we were short because I played with
you
guys.
Well, we were short because we had you, and then we picked up, I forgot who from Walker.
There she is.
Remember, he played 4 games on Saturday.
I don't remember that, but yeah.
Was that a new uniform? It looks barely used.
It's probably too small for any of the guys on our team to fit.
True enough, speed isn't the.
I remember getting like a size 42 waist pant to wear that weekend. That was.
Yeah.
So anyway, my question about your wife is this. Does she smile that much at home?
Oh, yeah.
You had to say that.
Of course.
There's some turkeys, pheasants, huge pheasants or turkeys. Those are turkeys.
That's new out here.
Is it?
Isn't
it?
I haven't seen them before. I still can't see them now.
So. Well, that's because they're just out of your view to the right. They're walking away. But
seen coyotes, dogs, rabbits,
you've
snakes.
Seen a coyote.
We've seen coyotes
on the trail.
Yeah, they're out there. There was a snake living.
You know,
his
people
door
come
year.
Here.
Yeah.
They come here and walk the trails.
Right. It's dangerous. Scary. It's scary.
That should
it's
be part of the show. Brian, I've known you for many years now, vintage baseball-wise. I always look forward to seeing you. I think I express that to you every time I see you. So I don't know this story. How in the hell you even came across vintage baseball?
Really through, I'd say, Tony Cannatella, Bam Bam, I played – I think been playing probably co-ed. It might have been men's softball, but co-ed softball, one of the two. And I was playing competitive softball, and then I ended up having back surgery in 17, and I played one more year after that, and it just like I just wasn't the same. And he's like, "You should come play with us," when they had the Taylor Wolverines, and I didn't play that year. And I'm like, "Oh, you know, I'm gonna see if I can see how my back is. I'm gonna try and give it one more go at playing softball," and. Yeah, the next year they made the Flat Rock team, and I've been doing it ever since. And I'll tell you, I have more fun doing this than I've ever had playing baseball in high school, softball, anything. Like, this is like, I don't know, when I explain it, it's like just the most fun I've ever had. It's almost like there's, you know, we talked about it's competitive. Everybody's competitive naturally. Yeah. But it's almost like win or lose, you know, we're all going to gather and eat after this. Right. So that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there something about vintage baseball that specifically does that? Like, that makes it different than any of the softball you've done or any
baseball? I think
baseball.
It's like the camaraderie between the two teams, too. Yeah. Like, you know, at the end of it, I'm, you know, I don't say I'm cheering you guys on during the game, but it's right. like you got a good relate, you know, personal relationship, and especially it's my seventh or eighth season now.
Yeah,
you know, playing with guys, and it's kind of like you look forward to seeing people,
right?
You know, and in high school, it's like, oh, you know, it's that guy from Trenton. I don't really know him or not, you know him too well, but here it's like, oh, hey, I'm playing marbles and who, and you know, I get to see Coco today, and that's cool, and
yeah,
you know, I don't know, but yeah, it's. I want to say, like, it doesn't matter who wins or loses because I want to win.
Right, right.
But it kind of doesn't, you know?
Yeah, it's like, at the end of the day, everything's okay.
At the end of the day, there's, like, almost no pressure. Yeah. There's no pressure, and it's just, you know, it's just fun.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where I feel like, especially playing at a competitive level, where it's like, yeah, you want to win, but at the end of the day, like...
Well, I just want to play a competitive competitive game, too. Right. It's not fun if it's one-sided or whatever.
Right. I agree.
And it is, you know, I love, of course, playing in front of the people in the village, and it's,
yeah.
it's really cool, and, you know, like... I catch a baseball without a glove on. And everybody's like, well, it must be like a sock. It's like, well, it's not as hard as a traditional baseball, but it's far from soft.
Yeah,
and I'll give absolutely. It must be soft. Well, here, let me hit one easy here.
Good luck out there.
Catching a baseball in left field, you guys are a couple of the best that we have in this territory. That's a hard ball. That's as close as it gets to a hard ball without being considered a hard ball.
Right.
I mean, sure, if you're playing in bound matches, that's a whole different ball game. And also, if you're playing in some sort of weather, the ball soften up or stuff like that. Now, when Flat Rock plays, they pound the piss out of the ball all game, so it gets softer at the end because of that.
I wouldn't want to play third base. That's about the one spot you couldn't.
I think it is
yet.
Probably the worst spot to be.
But, oh, yeah, third base in a fly game.
I would take first every day over third, I think, if you're trying to be safe.
Oh, yeah.
You basically got to have a bad attitude to play third base. Like, you know, like, you got to have an I don't give a crap attitude, generally towards life, you know, and then just carry it over to third base where you're like, no fear, whatever, bring it on. And I've played third base. Okay. Not fun.
The first game I ever played, I think it was against Walker. Somebody hit a missile at third base, and our third baseman put his hand up, and I swear his hand went to the size of a baseball glove.
Yeah.
Or baseball
mitt. Yeah.
And I was like, don't ever put me in there.
because I think I played third base for Bay City, and there was a line drive hit right above my head where I went, nope. And it went into left field, and they're like, what are you doing?
If you're going to be there, you got to commit.
Yeah, but not committed. Not going to do it.
So were you naturally an outfielder in softball and baseball? Or
I played in high school. I played catcher, and just because I had a good arm and could throw it from home to second base. And no, not really. I mean, softball, I ended up in the outfield because I was the young and fast.
Gotcha.
Like, you can run around, go out there and run
around. So Flat Rock knew you as an outfielder when you were coming in.
Yeah, when I played with Tony and stuff, I played outfield.
I was going to say that I would go on the record and say that your catch at the World Tournament to end the game was the biggest catch in vintage baseball that's ever happened, in, like, the recreation of vintage baseball. Or two outs, I think.
Just two outs, and I almost dropped it.
Maybe two runners on?
Because it went off my hands.
A slight bobble,
and I swear to God, I heard my heart go bump, bump. Bump. And I re-grabbed it when I landed. It was
pretty much a diving catch down the left field line. Maybe two runners on, I think.
I don't even remember. I know there's at least one.
Yeah, I think
it was first and second.
Second, so it's like the tying run. On deck.
It was the on deck or batting. I know it's coming up.
Yeah, and it's like if that got by you, that was probably scoring the two, putting a runner in scoring position.
We weren't at the bottom of the lineup. We were right in the heart of the lineup. So it was going to be –
very impressive catch. That was absolutely crazy. I have that game actually on video. And I need to go through and edit it and post it because on the losing side of it, it's just been hard to fathom watching that over and over as I edit it. But
I accidentally deleted it. I don't know what happened. But I've had a couple big catches, but that's that's right there.
It's the final out of the World Tournament. You guys have made the championship all 3 years prior, correct? Like all three years that you attended, you made the championship game.
We went four times.
Yeah, that was the fourth time is when you secured it.
Yeah.
And secured it with the final catch that was pretty much became a diving play in left field.
Yeah, it was
1867 game.
Fourth time's a charm. That was we lost to you guys in the first year, and then we lost to Saginaw, and then we lost to Walker our third year, and then I thought the history was just going to keep repeating itself. Yeah, right.
So do you feel like with that win, now when you go to Worlds, is it going to feel completely different to where you're going to be a lot more relaxed?
No, I got pressure to repeat.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
I think there is. I think there's more pressure to repeat than coming and win your first.
More pressure to repeat than to win your first?
Absolutely. Especially for us, because we came in and it was our first year. Brian, you guys had a championship.
There's no way.
I'll tell you, there's no way you guys had the pressure winning it your first time. We were it's the fourth time. Are they going to choke again?
Well, that's true.
That was the big pressure. It was like, oh, my gosh, we can't.
Yeah.
We can't be the team that gets second every single
Bay
year.
Bay City.
But I don't know. I would think there's going to be pressure to repeat. Yeah.
There definitely is pressure
to repeat, but pressure to not just show up and lay an egg.
Right. Absolutely. Because, I mean, that was the thing is, well, when we won in 2019, nobody really expected us to win. We were a new club. So especially, the fans on the Hill that are La-Di-Da's fans, they've maybe seen us once or twice on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, like
we knew you, but
yeah, not a lot of people. Right. Out of state. Like at that point,
the
you guys didn't play a lot of state teams.
Yeah,
they don't know a lot of you.
Don't know much. So it's like, well, you know, the local teams that you got to beat. There's Walker Tavern that, if you can beat them, you're in a great spot. Or Bay City if you beat them. Or Saginaw. But it's like, aside from that, it's like most people didn't really know. So there wasn't that pressure. Like, oh, these guys are good. They're going to win. It's just like, oh, these guys are here. They're just playing. And so you can put whatever pressure on yourself. But now once you win one and everybody knows, they're like, oh, these guys won last year.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of added pressure there, even if it's just from the crowd or your opponents. Because everybody's got, if they're playing you, they got that game circle.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's what I say. Same with, Gettysburg. Oh, we want to play you. We want you guys.
Yeah. It's one of those things, especially going out there, too, where it's like, well, you win the world tournament, so the teams out there know that you won that, and you're playing against these teams. I don't really know that.
I forgot who, but I know the next week, who was it who won? Was it Silver Ball or something? Was like, we want you guys next year at Gettysburg. And I'm like,
oh, my God. I was trying to amplify that to actually make it happen.
Who
I can't remember
Silver
who
Ball
it was.
This year?
I was like, we should have a Flat Rock against whoever. And somebody from their team, like, yeah, let's do it. Let's meet at Gettysburg. I'm like, I'll come and videotape it and call it and everything. And everyone's like, yeah. And Gettysburg, people from Gettysburg were like, I guess we could try to make that happen. And then they never said another word.
Well, their schedule's not out yet. Yeah, so it might be in the works.
I could see it.
I wish I could remember who the club was.
I could miss it.
With that overlapping with the world tournament, I never really get to pay too much attention to Silver Ball. I know Talbot's normally pretty good.
Have you guys ever talked about going out to Silver Ball?
We've probably no more than just in brief passing. Like, oh, hey, that'd be cool. But nothing we've seriously
been
looked at.
I think it's
even
the thing, especially for the Michigan teams out here, which is like Silver Ball would be a blast. But if you get that invite to the 12-team tournament that's 30 minutes down the road, are you going to pass that up to play in front of – pass up playing in front of several hundred fans at Greenfield Village and the Henry Ford to go play anywhere else that weekend? Probably not.
Well, later on in the day, we're interviewing Kid from Northville.
Yeah.
And Northville makes the trip to Silver Ball, so we can get the other side of that coin.
Yeah, they've made several trips out there.
Of that. Brian, on your schedule, take away the World's Tournament in Gettysburg, because those are going to be the top two, and they should be. Is there a place that you guys play just on random weekends, just single game events that you really look forward to?
Let's see.
Just because of maybe location or maybe the club you're gonna play against. Don't bring up Canton again.
No. Your guys' new field really got me too with I didn't know you guys had move fields
last
week.
Yeah.
I'm like, where am I at? I'm in somebody's backyard.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'll tell you ones I don't enjoy, and I love playing the team. Like, I love going to Walker and playing Walker, but as a right field hitter, I don't love playing there because you get two shots at it and then you're out.
Yep. And there they got the left field line too, where it's like you hit a foul ball and you just pull it a little bit too much, or you're going to the weeds there and you get a warning on that.
I do enjoy going, the Bay City State Tournament, every year. I look forward to that one. I like that. I like
Carroll
that
Park
field. Carroll Park. It's really nice. As a left fielder, I don't love when Silverback comes up and puts one on the tennis courts, and I got to run around there. But
and those trees dangling over as well. Those are frustrating, where you got a couple trees dangling, the branches.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, cool, I got this lined up, and
it's
there's plunk.
It's like, okay, is it going to come
in? Not if you're aiming for them.
Yeah.
That was my go-to, where those branches that lean down. I'm like, if I hit the ball as hard as I can to left field, the left fielder doesn't have to move a step, and I'm out. However, if I pull it just a little bit, that's a base hit, my friend, and that's what I was trying to do.
But if somebody that doesn't pull the ball, not fun.
I remember when the big branch came down in a thunderstorm, the biggest one that would hang out over the field came down, and there's like conspiracy theories that Bay City got rid of that branch because what? That was my branch. I wouldn't have let anybody take that down.
Your branch and the Saginaw Old Gold's branch at the same time.
Those guys are all good hitters. And then you get to me at the bottom of the order. You want me to have that branch.
but no, I can't, you know, I'm sorry if I'm leaving one out, but I can't think of one that's like off the top of my head. Like this is, you know, I always look forward to, you know, the cliche, like going to the Greenfield Village and stuff like that. But other than that, I really like our park. And we don't play a lot of home games, but I really like
it's
where
really
we're at.
Nice, yeah.
Well, ESPN didn't like the playground in left field.
They probably picked me up saying something, and we're like, we can't air this.
they just wanted it to look a little more vintagey, and I'm like, we play at parks. Like, that's – what do you think? There's no vintage baseball fields. They don't exist.
Right.
You tore them all down.
Yeah, yeah.
And built –
it'd be great in Michigan if we had some more vintage-looking fields, but I feel like everywhere there's a, you know, especially in the Metro Detroit area, everywhere there's a plot of grass, they find something to do with it, whether it's a basketball court in the background or a playground or a parking lot.
Well, you have
or
to.
Something. Yeah.
You got to maximize. They got to do it. You got to maximize it. Have you played at Northville?
Yes.
So that short
porch. Right field, that's something there too. Yeah,
I mean, at least it's not an out.
It's like not an out. Yeah, I'm glad. Every time I got to watch Mayor run up the stairs, up the wooden deck to look for the ball. I think there was one hit to the CVS up there or whatever's at the top of that hill. And left field, I did not envy him having to chase that one down. But that field was, you know, good. And then Rochester's one too. Right, has got the real short right field. I think there's a foul ball.
Yep. Yeah, foul ball in the air. I think maybe a single.
But playing at Rochester, that's a treat.
I tell you, it's like I always feel bad for Stash because big right hand or big left handed power hitter to right field, and it's like
you got
too bad.
Yeah.
Adjust. What the hell?
Oh, he does fine. But the only field we play at that really we could take advantage of that is field two during the World Tournament.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of adjustments. Because you guys, and we have alluded to it many times, you guys are big hitters and you're a bunch of four hitters. When you play a bound match, and it doesn't affect you very much, I wouldn't think, but the big guys on the team, what is the adjustment like? Is it hard for them in a bound match?
I don't think so. I mean, a lot of them get it in their heads. They hit a line drive. I mean, that's the biggest thing you can do, or you got to, like, even crushing it, like, you can cream that thing, and sometimes it'll bounce high enough where so I think they try to swing down maybe a little more on it, but it, like, I can't say it takes a lot out of them. Like same thing with, like, Keller. I think he tries to hit line drives when we go to Gettysburg, and he's pretty successful with it when he tries to do it. Same with Pat. And I just try, when I do it, to hit it a little farther foul. On my foul balls.
Oh, yes. Notorious foul ball hitter.
Wear them out.
Brian Parker. There's two hitters in vintage baseball where you should put your left fielder on the left field line and maybe the right fielder on the right field line. Brian Parker. Jonathan Smith. Booze Hound from Saginaw.
Yeah.
I would always tell.
Oh, yeah.
I would always tell the left fielder. Now, I'm not a manager, so it doesn't matter what I say. But I'm like, Jeremy. Foul territory.
Yeah, right fielder, we don't need you over there.
Center fielder, move over to left,
right?
Because Booze Hound doesn't hit it to right, doesn't want to learn how to hit it to right, and will tell you, I'm not hitting it to right field. So there should be somebody way over there because he's going to do that once, and then he might burn you over in left field. But, God, how many balls have you wasted in vintage baseball?
I don't know. I know against, I think it was last year, one of the 2 years, but against Bovina, I hit so many in a row, like, they were getting so mad. And I wasn't doing it. Like, I don't do it like, hey, watch this. I'm going to smack some away. Like, I think he was just throwing them hot, and I was trying to hit in the right field, and I just kept falling off in this first baseman or right field. Does this guy ever hit a fair ball? Jesus Christ.
I know that there's a play call out there of a Flat Rock match, and it escapes me of which one it was. But I know Brian Parker came up, and I'm like,
"It was the
here come the foul balls." I just said it because it was your reputation, and I've seen it.
Yeah.
But it turned into a thing because you just kept hitting it.
I think it was the World Tournament. It might have been the World Tournament where we beat you guys in the first game.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was that one. And I remember from that broadcast, we scored, I don't remember how many runs in the one inning.
Yeah.
To take the lead by one.
That was brutal.
And I go sprinting out there, and I hear Barrel Roller saying, well, Parker's sprinting out to left field. He must be wanting to get this over with. And I'm like, oh, he doesn't know we took the lead. But I think that was the one. I remember you saying on there, like, this guy hits more foul balls than anybody I've ever seen.
And then foul ball. So he backed me up on my.
I don't favor one field over the other.
No, you don't. The only one that hits it foul more than you, maybe Rudy Frias, and he's trying to do it.
Yeah, he does.
Shout out to Rudy. You're not here right now. You can't do anything about it. You know, while I got you two here, it's a crazy dynamic I didn't even think about is the Canton Flat Rock rivalry with as many matches as you guys have played.
Yeah, I think I have the franchise stats here in our overall record against them.
We're probably about 3-47 against these guys. But
the three are like the biggest important matches.
Yes. Two of them came in Worlds, and one of them, it was like the fourth year we were playing, we finally beat you at our home, and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, when they lose, they say, oh shucks, I've never heard that before. Yeah. It's like the first time I've ever seen you guys lose.
And I think that might have been at the Flat Rock Invitational. Like, it was a three-team deal that year.
I thought it was, like, at the end of the year, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I know we lost you once in the Flat Rock Invitational, but then Bay City beat you guys. So it came down to runs against.
Oh, and
because somebody dropped out.
That sounds right.
It was a three-team thing. And like, wait, we're going to win? What? How?
End of the day, we still lost.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're probably – I don't know how many times we've lost to you guys, but I think we've beaten you three.
But you might have a few more than that because I think there are at least two at the World Tournament.
And then probably
a state cup at some point, maybe last year, this year.
No. When we won the state cup, we beat Walker.
Okay.
And the year they beat us at the Worlds.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So it was kind of reversed because we got you at the States this year and you guys got us at the Worlds.
Yeah. Yep. Same.
Did you hear those two just go off like a couple of schoolgirls? Jeez Louise. They could go on for an hour. You know, Mike, remember back season one of this? We're in season five. Season one, the end of the season. Is when I did it was COVID,
yes.
And I had all the captains of the major players at Greenfield Village at the Worlds. It was Rudy Frias, Jeff Kozlowski, Adam McCulley, Jamie Johnson, and Jeff Rawl,
mm-hmm.
And you. Am I missing somebody?
I don't think so.
I don't think
Maybe.
So. Now just think about how different that would go because Flat Rock wasn't no Flat Rock at that point.
Yeah, Flat Rock hadn't happened yet.
And, what? When we did a season-ending show about the World's Tournament after season one.
Yeah, so they may have played in a World Tournament.
Yeah.
They obviously hadn't won
it
yet.
Our first one was you guys' first one.
But no memory of Flat Rock, and then here we are four seasons later, and Flat Rock could have a show about all their memories at the World Tournament and their ups and downs and wins and losses and their big matches against all those clubs we had represented in that.
Yeah,
in that first one, it's crazy that the only ones that have fallen off are the Columbus Capitals. Brian's the last time you lost to Columbus. I asked the hard questions here.
It might be when we went down there. We went down there the first year, second year, and played them. And what's they have their own like Greenfield Village down there.
The Muffins.
The Muffins. We played them on Saturday and the Muffins on Sunday, and we might have lost to them there. And but, yeah, that was – I once we started talking about them, I did enjoy going to their field, too. That was the Metro Park. But it was, I think, more or less, we had a good weekend hanging out with those guys. I love those guys. Those are a fun group to be around.
Well, that's probably why you guys invite them to the Flat Rock Invitation. Are they coming back this year?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're on the schedule too.
Well, that doesn't mean they're going to show up. who all is invited? Is it the same old?
Same old as last year, I believe. Yeah. So
I also lied. Our season, our tournament's the 18th. Earlier, I thought it was the 4th, but the 4th is we play against Brownstown,
newer club in Michigan. Yep, they're more of a. Mike, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but they are more historically accurate.
I think they're linked to the
that's where they
Brownstown
go to
historical society. If
right,
I'm
so
correctly.
They're into the accuracy. Now, when we say a club is more accurate than competitive, believe you me, that doesn't mean they don't want to win. everybody wants to win.
Yes.
If you say you don't care and you don't want to win, you're a liar.
Yeah, or you're losing.
The good thing about vintage, Brian, you were talking about it earlier, is you're playing against your friends, basically. If you're playing against your friends in a softball game, you cannot congratulate them for the great play that they committed.
Right, that too, yeah.
You know. But in vintage, you can be like, oh, my friend just caught that in the outfield, and I can congratulate him with a little tip of the cap or a little something. And so that's a little aspect of vintage that's more gentlemanly. Should actually happen more. Seems to happen once a game.
Yeah.
Where there's a play by the other team that gets it's hard to catch that ball.
It is.
Anytime that ball gets caught, it should be celebrated by somebody.
It is crazy, isn't it? Isn't it like the expectation is you don't ever miss? Like, okay, we're going to hit this to you. I expect you to run it down. And with a guy with a glove on has an extra 12-inch reach on my bare hand.
Yep.
And if it hits him in the fingertips, it'll fall on the glove. If it hits me in the fingertips, my finger will dislocate. So,
speaking of dislocated fingers, what baseball-related injury, what's the worst one you've had so far?
In vintage?
Yeah.
I think I've only dislocated one finger, I think. Well, that I've had to have pop back in at least, and that was Copper at the World Tournament, I think in the final game when we lost.
Okay.
Because I probably pulled a hamstring or something, or my knee was bothering me, so they put me in right field. And I didn't play the hill right.
Oh yeah,
I think
that's
I didn't take it.
Spot to be,
I was watching the ball in. I'm like, oh, I gotta go up or down the hill, and I didn't take the change of elevation into, into consideration, and it caught me right in the tip of the finger, and my left ring finger popped straight out, ran over the sidelines, and there was somebody who was getting ready to get in, and Stick comes over and says, let me take a look at that thing. Boom, popped it right back in. I went right back out there, but that I haven't really gotten hurt other than that. Not knock on wood.
Yeah, absolutely. I dislocated a finger in a practice where the ball went in. I was at shortstop in Bay City, and the ball went into the tree, and I saw it coming down, and I was like this, and it went tink.
It's right on top.
And right on top, and it was crooked, and I had no experience with that, and I'm like, what do I do here?
Oh, me too, yeah.
Do I just try to snap that back in it? And something was telling me, just put that back into place. And I'm like, why would I feel like I should be touching this right now? and I'm like, am I going to make this worse? And I'm like, oh, hell.
That was great. I was the same thing. I'm looking at it. I'm like, I think it's broke. I don't know. What is this? What am I looking at?
Last thing you want is to, like, shatter the bone and start pulling on it.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. But, yeah.
But mine hurt for, like, 2 months after
that. Oh, yeah. It was swelled up.
They don't heal.
It was swelled up. My boss is like, you should get that looked at. Look how big that finger is. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. I'll go down.
This might be maybe a little before your time, but the Kent Baseball Club, you remember Grand Rapids?
We played against them, but we never got to participate. I'm probably going to guess you're bringing up the Silas Cup.
Yeah, we went to – it was the Silas. That's what we were practicing for, was the Silas.
Yeah.
And I got there, and I started playing warm-up catch, and I'm like, oh, hell, I can't – what the hell? I can't do this. It was the first time I had thrown since I hurt the finger.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it, and everyone's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like – it still hurts. And everyone, most people didn't even know I had done it because it would just happen so quick.
Right. And they didn't even see you put it back in.
Yeah. Like, I didn't tell anybody.
Suck it up.
Mine still ain't right. Like, if I bend my fingers or move them, I can feel it right in the joint.
Yeah,
it still doesn't
right
bend
now,
right.
It's a little chilly here, and I can feel anything that has ever happened.
You probably dislocated every finger.
No, I think maybe two or three that I've at least jammed pretty good. I don't know if they're broken. I don't go to the doctor.
Who is it from the village? Was a doctor. He's like, I've done every finger once, and I'm working my second time around.
I think Mayer's probably messed up more than
Mayer last year, that was was it last year before? He really messed a couple of his
Well, he's injury prone, but he throws his body around, and what do you expect?
And I love him for it. But his fingers last year, I'm like, man, I think it was like partially healed, and he was like, I'll play.
Yeah, he just blows it out. It's like, again. So I get hit with a ball and just starts bleeding everywhere. It's like, what?
And he
I
attacks.
Didn't know that was possible.
He attacks the disc golf with the same veracity.
I believe that.
I haven't played that with him.
We talk about the disc golf. I've never played it, but he's one of those that he plays in like tournaments and stuff.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And he's got like the different disc for every situation.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, they carry.
Yeah,
like
I know.
Best.
There's like they get like five or six discs.
Yeah, I think he's probably due for his own episode.
So, oh, absolutely. I think, well, we did talk to him about it at Ohio Cup.
Yeah.
But that was just a short, short episode.
Yeah, that was Akron,
we
right.
could do a.
Then it was. He didn't talk to you guys at the Akron Cup, I thought.
Me, he might have done that too. I mean, I just enjoy. I just like talking to him.
Those guys do that disc golf. They got, my buddy's watching YouTube videos on it. And I've played a time or two, and I'm like, I can throw a frisbee. How hard could this be? And it is infinitely different.
Brian, what do you do for a living?
I'm a maintenance manager at the U.S. Steel.
So you're a steel worker. You work with the hard hat.
Yes, sir. I wear a hard hat every day.
And you're a supervisor.
Yes.
How many people underneath you?
It's the numbers are dwindling and dwindling every year. But right now I got, I don't know, at least a dozen.
So does that, how long have you been like a supervisor?
I've been there for 12 years. Be 12 years in June.
So does any of that leadership that you have to display at work make its way over to the baseball field?
I never thought about it that way. I guess some. I mean, I've always been like, I don't know, at work, leadership at work is different because I'm like salary and they're, you know, union guys, and it's more of like a given directives, not like, and I like the leadership of, you know, come on, let's do it. And I'll show you how to do it, but let's do it together. Like, yep. You know, the teamwork type of leadership, and which, you know, I do that at work too. But I don't know. I think it's some level of different.
Would you consider yourself? Because I consider you so a leader on the Flat Rock Club.
Yeah.
Not the leader, as in the captain.
Right.
But I consider you one of the leaders. Do you feel that way?
I do, and I have felt it more the last year or so, and it's more or less like we're bringing on new guys, and I think me and, you know, Doug and Johnny Flash have talked, and it's like we're like three of the last original guys who are full-time.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm missing somebody, guys, but but like, you know, and Hammer, because like me Hammer and I've talked about that quite a bit too, where it's like, and I'm happy to take on more of a leadership role with our team, and
yeah.
Like, I like to make sure to correct guys. Like, my first year out there, we're playing. It's like, I got it. And it's like, no, that's not.
Yeah.
Right. So new guys come on. I'm like, you got to get the lingo right. It's more about just playing with just the rules, but you got to get the lingo right. And
right.
People, like, respect you a lot more for that.
And I think that's one thing that I'm impressed with Flat Rock, too, is, like, you guys are great baseball players in any capacity, whether it be softball, regular baseball on a diamond if you're playing hardball or overhand. And then vintage, you guys are great at it as well. But you guys have picked up on the vintage element very well. And it's been cool to see as the years go on. It's like you guys are willing to learn more about the game and take advantage of rules such as a foul ball.
Yes.
And, you know, you get burned once or twice, and then you can either be mad about it or you can learn from it. And you guys are learning from everything, and it's really cool to see.
We learn a lot of the rules the hard way.
I think everybody does it.
But yeah, we say now I know about the a foul ball. The outfielder throws it away on purpose just to get the guy to think, oh, I can advance to the next base. Yeah. Like, I won't fall for that. I don't think I've fallen for that, but I've seen it fallen for. It's like, oh, hang on, he's trying. Marbles is trying to get us again. No, I really think it's, you know, I know they say baseball is whatever percent mental, but I think vintage is even more.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot more
right.
mental and trying to keep up with the rules. And because you got baseball, you know, modern-day baseball just in your head.
Yeah.
And that's really why I like going to, like, the Village, too. I like getting there early and kind of just sitting amongst the fans. And, like, if they have questions, I love answering questions, and I love talking, like, vintage baseball to be like, how come that happened? And it's like, well, this is what the rules are.
Right.
And that's what people – I was having a conversation with baseball the other day with somebody at work, and they're talking about strikes and balls. And I'm like, well, the strike's really only if you swing and miss. And I said this was more of a – form of exercise back in the day. This wasn't, you know, of course competitive, but it was like, it's the pitcher's job to throw you a hittable ball, and they're supposed to throw it in the strike zone you want. They're not out here throwing, you know, low and away to try and get, you know, of course people do, but, you know, the point of it is for them to throw you a hittable ball, unless you're at a place where they're trying to speed the game along, like, you know, Gettysburg.
Have you guys gotten a chance to play any overhand?
No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because we've gotten a couple of lows, and it's like, well, you get to prefer a low strike zone or a high strike zone.
Oh, is
it? Like, you know, there's still strikes if you don't swing because they're calling pitches by that point, 1890s or so. But you're still requesting low or high. It's not just like, oh, here it is, regardless of what you like.
I know the Grays play overhand.
Yep.
And that's where you played last year.
Yeah, we've gotten to play against them. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't.
They're a blast to play.
Stash wants to.
Yeah.
He wants to go play some overhand games, and I think it'd be pretty cool. It would be. I don't know.
It's different.
I haven't seen an overhand pitch probably since high school.
Yeah, that was a pretty similar thing for me. And, you know, they're not blasting it as much as, you know, because the catchers are only restricted to the equipment that they had. Yeah. So it's like, you know, your hands are kind of in a little different position than you would regularly catch a ball as a catcher. So it's definitely a little bit of a different game, but it's a blast. You guys should definitely play some games because you guys would be good at that.
Why don't you guys just play an overhand game?
We could.
You're both right here.
I would say buy the equipment. We could, yeah.
It's not a lot.
No.
Just buy the equipment and play an overhand game.
Yeah.
We'll just play bare hand. It's fine.
Yeah.
You guys play that all the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
The gloves the fielders use aren't.
No, it's the catcher's equipment. It's the catcher. Really what you need, yeah.
You guys should make that happen. Brian, once again, thanks for coming out here.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm surprised I didn't interview you earlier, actually. I don't understand. He said, Brian Parker? I'm like, no. Well, I've already done him. I've already done him.
I know you messaged me last year, and I missed a lot of games last year. I think you tried to get me at the Akron Cup because you messaged me on that Friday. It was my daughter's birthday party. And then we were so short of people, they were like, we need you to come. So me and Doug drove up like Sunday morning at like 5 o'clock.
Brutal. I remember the daughter's birthday party thing now.
I think I'm only the second Flat Rock member on the podcast that I can think of. I know Johnny Laura did it. Flash did it. And I'm not sure if anybody else.
I've been turned down by Hammer.
Oh.
You fuck. Neil always hangs around the podcast wherever I'm at, and he's there. He always hangs around, and, you know, we'll chit-chat here, or he'll chit-chat who's ever in that seat. So I'm like, oh, well, he's a done deal. I'm going to ask him. He'll be on the show. Nah. It was almost like he was teasing me.
Yeah,
could be.
Like, oh, I'll be on the show. No.
I love Hammer. Me and him have a good dynamic. Like, you know, the world tournament, like, I go out there, and I do the speaking, and you know, thanks for coming and whatever. Yeah. I'll do the coin toss. And I let him manage everything in the backfield. He puts the lineup together. I just read what he wrote on the paper.
Right. Circling back to the leader talk a little bit, who is the captain of Flat Rock? Uh-huh. I feel like that's changed probably 6 times in 6 years, at least from
you
my
know,
knowledge.
If you said who is the captain, I mean, I think we all take our turn. Like,
right.
Okay, it's your turn this week. It's your turn this week.
Yeah.
I'll do it if they ask me to do it. I know, Chuck Diesel's. Diesel will do it every once in a while.
Yeah.
Doug will do it. I don't know how much he enjoys talking in front of everybody because we razz him a little bit, but he'll do it. I feel like we all know what we need to do, and it's like the person we send out there is like, hey, who wants to talk today?
Yeah.
Because who does a really good job is Duke played for us last year, and he does a great job of talking.
Yes,
I'm like, man, he's – I'm going to have him write my speeches when I go out there to talk because I'm just like, okay, thank the arbiter, thank the other captain, thank the fans, and get out of there.
Right.
So who does the lineup?
It's usually a mixture between Hammer and Diesel will take care of it.
Do you guys decide defensive assignments, or is that something you guys do off the cuff? Like, and I'm not talking about the big matches because, before big matches, you're like, okay, we want our best in every position, so this is where everybody's going to be. But, like, when you're like, I'm going to take this inning off, or some clubs will have that predetermined, like Canton does that, right? You predetermine defensive assignments for every inning. Isn't that written down?
No.
Well, there are clubs that do that, where they write down, like, what's going to happen in the fifth inning and sixth inning. But you guys, just going off the cuff, you don't have a manager. So,
We do. I mean, like I say, like the World Tournament and stuff like that, like, I say Hammer and Chuck, and if Bam Bam's there, he'll be involved in like making the tough decisions. But I feel like our guys know, you know, for the most part, like our lineup's pretty set for the most part. It's it's me and left, and it's Stash in center, and then the infield kind of, I don't want to say it depends who's there that day or that week, but we got like Flash can play short or he plays second when we need him. Cactus didn't play a lot this year because he hurt his knee, but Travis Lamb, he'll play third base, or he'll play shortstop, and then Hammer will play third, but he really can play anywhere.
Yeah.
This kid plays with us. The Village gave him a new nickname, but to us, he's Mallet.
Yeah.
So if Mallet plays with us, sometimes he'll play second base, or we've had him in the outfield. And when it comes to rotating or coming out, Heck, half the time our guys, I'll be happy to take a break this inning.
I was gonna say as well as I mean, when it comes down to like, oh, it depends on who's here this week. But you guys have a pretty consistent roster over the last, I would say, roughly 5 years. It's like you've had some guys leave, some new guys come in.
Yeah.
But week to week, like you're gonna see the same Flat Rock team at Gettysburg pretty much that you do at the World Tournament.
The biggest thing that changes with us is probably who pitches or who catches, and then that's about the biggest thing.
Pitching. Yeah, you guys have not nailed down that pitching thing. As far as having a
hurling,
the guy you know you're going to face.
I think they have, but I don't want to say who it is because I don't want to hit against him anymore. So,
but I say we've you know, we got three or four guys that'll hurl the ball, and I mean they all do pretty good in their own respects.
Yeah. Now you said you played catcher when you played baseball.
Yeah,
have you played catcher in vintage?
I think one time because my knee was bothering me.
I'm surprised by that because catcher I find and. You're going to agree with me. It's like the most fun position on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a blast.
And you
depends on where you're playing and what the rules are. If it's super restricted, I find it far less fun.
Well, sure. But if your legs weren't so necessary in the outfield, that'd be where you'd be, right?
For me?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Go wherever it's needed.
Depends on the rules.
Depends on the rules. Depends on who's there.
You guys switch some things around every once in a while too. That like copper pitching coming out of the outfield. And then who was it? Meal Ticket played catcher some this year.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Copper's had problems with his hamstrings his entire life. He came out of the womb with a blown out hamstring.
He spends an hour before every game stretching. And he's more hurt than anybody else that doesn't stretch. I don't get it.
But you guys are a team. Talking about us being a team full of slow people, you guys are a team full of outfielders. You're like, who wants to play infield?
Pretty much,
today?
Yeah. We struggle to figure out who we can put in the infield. We're like,
Copper. The transition to pitcher was going to happen eventually, as he doesn't have to run anywhere.
Yeah, but he does good at it.
He's one of those athletes that's probably good at every single position
pretty
on the
much,
field.
Yeah.
Would excel. Would be the best.
Not
at
not
everything.
The infield.
No.
No.
Really?
No.
I'm surprised.
I think we put him at third base or shortstop once. Bad decision.
He played first base a little
bit. Yeah, he'll play some first. Yeah, he's got good hands. But ground balls? Nope.
Have I not interviewed Copper?
I don't think you have.
What the hell's going on with this show? Why does this thing even exist? Hey, Mike, start thinking of your questions. We're going to give Brian the old
can't do too much of the Midwest. You know, you get.
I can do whatever I want. I'm in control of myself. Although I do love talking to the East Coast. Oh, I've made a lot of good friend zone on the East Coast. This podcast has allowed me
enemies.
To. I do that everywhere I go. I mean, I can go to the grocery store right now and get something, and I'll make an enemy. But what can I do? I am what I am. Okay, we're gonna give him the old pepper. That's the old pepper song right there, Mike.
Gosh.
Ryan can't hear it, but for production value, it's there. Here we go, Brian. Make your perfect taco.
Oh my goodness. I want to be like, oh, you know, we got to stay healthy and have a chicken taco, but, no. I did not see this coming.
I'm over here thinking of baseball questions.
I'm over here thinking of Taco Bell.
Look, you walk up to a taco buffet. They have everything taco related. You pick up a plate and a napkin, and then you have to pick up your device of tortilla.
Probably going like soft shell, carne asada. I like strong onion, little guacamole. I don't know, some lettuce and cheese. If it's just a taco, keep it simple.
No,
you should go fajitas.
Gettysburg or the World Tournament?
Oof.
Oh God, I gotta go World Tournament.
Yeah.
What was the first Halloween costume you remember wearing?
Oh, I know. So I don't remember this. I know, but the first ones I see pictures of is I was a jailbird when I was probably two or three. First one I remember is probably walking in the Halloween parade in kindergarten. I was the Hulk with the purple pants and the
nice.
I don't think they had the Hulk hammer gloves then, but I remember a face painted green.
Favorite sport besides baseball?
Oh, football.
Football.
Professional or college?
I'll say professional. I love the Lions. I mean, I love Michigan. You know, I love Michigan. Go blue. But I say I go.
We're gonna circle back at the end and talk to him about this last Lions season.
Oh, that was a
Favorite beverage.
I drink a lot of Monster, probably too much. Drink Bud Light. If it's my beer, if it's pop, I'll drink Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew. I don't not a coffee guy. I'll drink iced coffee every once in a while, but not a coffee guy.
Who was the best man at your wedding?
My buddy Greg Ellenberger. I met him at work when my first day of work was his first day of work at the mill, and he's still one of my best friends today.
Left field or catcher?
Oh, left field.
Your questions are too short. I'm trying to think of something.
I also don't have anything. That's why.
When you were a kid, what was your favorite cereal?
Oh, man. I like, nothing too like sugary. I mean, I liked Apple Jacks a lot. And then Captain Crunch.
Oh, that stuff will ruin the roof of your mouth.
Oh, yeah, but I love it. I still love it. I try and talk my kids into loving it so I can have a bite every once in a while. But they only want the berries, the Oops All Berries.
You say favorite cereal as a kid as if he's not allowed to eat it as an adult.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but he's not going to. Yeah.
No, what is your favorite season of the year?
My favorite's probably fall. I even like fall time when it's baseball and softball and it's kind of getting cold and there's the brisk in the air, put a hoodie on I just like the weather. It's terrible to say as a baseball guy, but I don't love the heat of summer. It's just so hot. I work in a steel mill. Mm. We got to wear long pants and
that's
coats that don't breathe and everything's fire retardant. And man, it is just like,
you're the supervisor. You should bring jorts to the steel mill.
I sweat like a fat guy, as I'm dying out there.
I know what that is because I am a fat guy, so I know what that sweat situation is. You have a young family.
Yes.
You have a beautiful wife. Have we talked about your wife?
This is getting weird.
Way outkicked your coverage on that one, Brian. Is it creepy yet?
Nope.
I'm uncomfortable sitting in the middle of this.
I'm used to it.
You guys are at home probably... I'm going to guess in a situation where you don't go a lot of places without the kids because of their ages and stuff. So you're streaming stuff. You're watching stuff together as a couple. What is the thing you're in the middle of right now?
We watch a lot of the Chicago series, Chicago
She's
Fire.
She's going to listen
Chicago
to this.
Med
so
and
she
knows we just got, we were watching MasterChef before I came here.
Good call.
I was changing diapers, watching MasterChef before we came here. But, a lot of shows like that, Law & Order, SVU. And then she'll go off in the other room and watch her, The Challenge or whatever those shows are. And
the reality kind of shows you don't watch those.
The Vanderpump
she knows
rules and all
God.
That stuff. And
that stuff sucks. Mike, less TV. Are you on something though that you watch with a girlfriend when you have one, or when you stop in and say hi to your parents before you berate them and leave?
is there something I watch?
Is there something on TV that you actually have binged?
Have binged in the past?
Yeah, sure.
Currently? Anything. Well, I mean, in the past. I mean, Tiger King, when that came out, that was a one-day deal.
Oh, God, that is so you.
Oh, that was great.
That was amazing. There's been a few shows here and there. Currently in the process of rewatching Boy Meets World from start to finish.
Oh, I love that show.
So, yeah. You see. The wife and I are currently on Suits.
Okay.
Somebody's told me to watch that. Yeah. And then what's the one where the guy's, it's on Netflix, where the guy's an FBI agent in the basement or whatever.
FBI agent in the basement?
Yeah, and he goes, if this phone ever rings, and...
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I need to chime back in. Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
As soon as those episodes come out, I watch them in a day.
I say, I watch a lot of documentaries. I watch Full Swing in about a day and a half.
You got to watch Suits. It's really good. It caught me. It grabbed a hold of me and
like
won't let me go.
Eight seasons of that?
Yes.
I saw that and I was like, I don't have time for
this.
That's
one of those where I'm like, I'm not catching up to this.
There's a lot here.
But they're all out. So if you get done
they're done.
Yeah, they're done.
Okay.
So you don't have to wait for anything if you get through.
Yeah.
It's. I always heard it was good. It's better than good. It's great. But I can't say for the whole thing because I'm only on season 3. So it could... fall off.
Could get worse. Yeah.
Night Agent was the one I was.
Night Agent. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
And what show do you watch with your kids?
Oh.
What's the one? What's the one?
I don't know. My kids spend way too much time watching the YouTube.
That's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I put limits on it. I don't know. They like, they're in like the Bluey phase. They like watching Bluey. You know what's actually funny? And here's a good one. So my middle daughter, her favorite show now is Pink Panther.
The old stuff?
The old stuff. Because we were driving by Tittle Brothers Construction, and they had the inflatable Pink Panther outside. And she goes, oh, look at that. I said, yeah, that's Pink Panther. That's a TV show from when Dad was a kid. And she's like, I want to watch that. And Amazon, it's not probably not new, but Amazon has a newer, like, cartoonistic style episodes of it where he's like a teenager or a kid or something. And she just watches the crap out of that.
Yeah, when I was younger, there's an episode of the Pink Panther where he's going, somebody's going and painting the flowers in the park, and then he's circling behind that person and painting them pink. So first person's painting them like blue, and then he comes back and paints them pink. So the guy gets done, and he comes back around, and the flowers are pink. So then he goes, starts going around the circle again, comes back around, they're all pink again. I loved it.
Oh yeah, I forgot about, like the anteater character and stuff like that. I forgot it even exists.
Anteater, yeah.
And she's like, great. Oh, look, it's an anteater. And
I'm like, no idea what we're talking about, do you, Mike?
No, never watched Pink Panther.
You want to know what was fun is Christmas. I want a Pink Panther, you know, throw blanket or whatever. I had to go to the store and explain to this poor girl that works there. I'm like, do you guys have any Pink Panther stuff? And like Spencer's or
no.
Like, what is that?
Oh, never mind.
Showing my age.
Amazon.com.
They don't have them either. We found a little
Jeff Bezos song.
We found a little
keychain. That's it. That's all you found is a keychain.
All we can find, really.
Wow. All right, everybody, find Brian Parker on his social media and send him links to Pink Panther merch. It's out there. I know it is.
I think that's a good color for Flat Rock's new uniforms to get away from yellow.
Mother's Day.
Hey, we'll save it for October.
Mike, your last giving them the old pepper question off the top of your head. Here you go.
Favorite pro wrestler.
There you go.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
No idea if you've ever watched wrestling.
I used to watch wrestling a lot back when it was the WCW. I used to watch it a lot more than when it was the WWE. I don't know. I always liked the Macho Man. RIP. Probably more of a Hulk Hogan guy than a Ric Flair, but I love ever watching the Flair documentary. It might sway me because I love that documentary. I've watched it a couple times. Modern day, I don't know so much.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have a WrestleMania preview show later in the day.
Apparently
that will be fun. We are. As far as I know. thanks again for joining us, Brian.
Yeah,
you were a real treat. I knew you would be. Of course, I'm disappointed you're alone. And, Brian, let's talk about that last season the Detroit Lions had. Mike, I know you can come in on this conversation as well. Let me just say off the top, I am not a Detroit Lions fan. I'm a huge NFL guy, but I'm a Miami Dolphins fan.
I know you're a Dolphins fan.
So I don't give a crap about the Lions. I enjoy when they win. I'm a supporter. Like, I don't fly to Miami to watch NFL games. I'll go to Ford Field to watch NFL games. So I support them. If they win or lose, though, I have to admit, it does not affect my life like it does with the Dolphins. Do the Lions, when they lose, does it affect you?
Oh, when they lost that game, the 49ers, it's probably in the manner they lost, I was crushed. Like,
yeah.
Pump the ball.
The next
field goal.
You know what?
Field goal.
You can't be mad at it because we probably wouldn't have the record we had if he didn't coach that way. It's like, you know, I don't expect him to change it in that one game. And had he done things different, you know, the traditional way all year, we might not have ever gotten there.
Yeah, so it's the same thing looking back at, like, you look back at any of the world tournaments that you guys didn't win. And you go, oh, if we did this.
Yeah.
But if you did that every time, maybe you wouldn't have made it to where you were at, you know. And it's.
But I wouldn't say that's the one game that probably ruined my – It probably ruined my week.
Yeah.
I'm going to call.
It still stings.
I didn't watch the Super Bowl after that. I was just like,
I don't care. I don't even care.
I don't care.
I watched it. I went there for the food.
Yeah. I didn't even turn it
off. The first half of the Super Bowl is some of the worst football I've ever seen played. So I was not happy about that.
Well, it's the thing. I wouldn't say I'm a diehard Lions fan. I got into fantasy roughly 10 years ago and have become a Lions fan from there. So it's kind of been on the upswing. I guess you could say I'm a bandwagon fan in that regard because they've gotten good.
Hey, if you started however many years ago, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to join.
But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, the Lions, even when I started watching, they did it, like, the Super Bowl wasn't in the forecast for them. It's like, whatever, the Lions are done. the end of the season. Then in 2 months from now, well, the Super Bowl will be on, and I'll watch a game of football. But it's like to get that close and then to not make it, it's just like, nah, I don't really care. Every year, like, it's not us. I don't care.
When they hired Patricia, I'm like, this is the guy. He's going to turn it around.
I said the same thing. I was on board with Patricia.
I have the shirt with the outline of his head and the pencil in it. I'm like, this is our guy, finally, finally.
I'm so glad I'm not the only fool on that
one.
Who would
have thought?
But, yeah, we went to the first playoff game this year. We got – my wife surprised me and bought tickets to that, so that was great. Like, my buddies all had tickets, and they're like, we only got one left, and we're bringing our wives and what. I'm like, well, I can't go. You know, I'm not – well, one, the price of the tickets was crazy.
Yeah, it was insane.
And I'm like, I'm not going without Carrie. And then my one buddy got – I don't know – who talked to who first, but next thing you know, she's like, I bought two tickets. They're in the row in front of your friends. We're going. I'm like, that's and that awesome. Was the crazy, yeah. Like, I'd never been somewhere so crazy.
Yeah.
And we flew to my wife's a big Saints fan. So we flew to New Orleans this year because they played the Sweet. Saints, and we flew to New Orleans awesome. To watch the Lions yeah. versus the Saints. So that was pretty cool. And, yeah, this was like a magical year. I hope they can build off it, and it wasn't just a one-off.
Do you have any pictures of your wife in a Saints jersey?
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
End the podcast. Ring the bell.
I'm going to call bullshit on something you said, Brian, earlier about the Lions. About the playing that way all year, it got you this far. No, I totally disagree. I do agree that kind of play calling got you to where it is, but you have to know your situation.
Yeah.
And the situation
true.
Was
oh, no,
the Lions were
right.
in control.
Yeah.
The 49ers were not in that game. And you are giving them an opportunity to take momentum because that's all they needed was a little something
a
to feel
hope,
better.
Right.
And if you go for it on fourth down and you don't get it, boom, it shifts.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Especially in a road stadium.
Yeah, well, trust me, I'm at home every time yelling, kick it, what the hell are we
right,
doing?
Yeah.
But you know what? I can't be mad at him.
If you're trailing and you're making that desperation attempt, I get it. But when you're up, what you are, to not kick a field goal just to keep the score
momentum's
what it is.
A real thing.
Yeah.
And you saw it happened.
But it worked for us against
the opposition,
the Rams.
If they convert those and they convert into a touchdown rather than a field goal, they widen that gap.
It worked for us against the Rams when they went for it. And I was at the stadium for that one. I'm doing the math in my head like, okay, I think we just need the first down. And then they threw that pass to Amon-Ra. I think it was on fourth down. And they threw the touchdown pass to LaPorta on fourth down. I'm like, and at that time, I'm like, just kick it, take the points.
Yeah.
And had they took the points, we would have lost.
Yeah.
But they had momentum.
Yeah.
I guess. I think home versus the away is a big thing. If you're at home, it's different, too.
Because if you fail at home, the crowd can still get behind you on the next drive to shut them down. But it's like if you fail on the road, the crowd is all for the opposing offense.
I just remember when it happened, I turned to my wife, and I said, they just lost the game on what they just did on that play, and I'm glad that I can go to bed tonight as not a Lions fan because I don't think I'd be able to sleep. That's not good, and it just happened to turn out. I'm not Nostradamus. I didn't know they were going to lose that game, but
you could feel it shifting, though. You could feel the shift.
You guys got to catch a ball.
Yeah.
It hit him in the hands.
Yep.
The play call wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Didn't they bring they brought Reynolds back.
Nah, he's still.
Didn't they bring him back on 1 year?
If they did, it's new. When I was reading yesterday, I think he's still unsigned.
Two words for the Detroit Lions: Corey Davis just came out of retirement, Western Michigan.
1 year off. Yeah.
You've got people that can take it deep now. Amon could go deep if you got Corey Davis, who's going to catch the ball in the intermediate routes. Corey Davis, cheap. On the cheap, coming out of retirement, he was retired for 4 months.
Yeah, so not even a year.
But he must have had family problems. But I'm just saying that we don't need him on the Dolphins. Super Bowl 2025.
You think Tua's going to get you there?
Nope. I'm not a Tua guy.
Maybe they could bring back Brady. I heard he likes Florida. So.
He does. He wanted to own part of the team until they colluded.
He's the reason they lost that first-round draft pick.
Yep. Why don't you just say that's what you wanted to do? Why are we sneaking around on boats? Anyway. Brian, I want to check your realisticness as a Lions fan, your prediction for this next season.
You know, last year my wife's office pool did something, and I think her guess was like 11-5 or 11-6, and I'm like, you're nuts. I'm like 9-7, you know, I'm like 9 or 10 wins will be pushing it. And I said that when we lost to the Bears, I'm like, we're not winning another game this year. So I like to think of myself as realistic. I don't remember if I've really looked at what our schedule looks like next year. I know it gets tougher, but you know, I would hope we can stick around 10 wins, 10-7. I mean, I don't think that's I'm not really worried about the division. I don't, who knows what's going on with the Vikings is.
It's Packers only. It's only Packers.
It's Packers is to worry about because they really came on last year. Like when the year started with the Packers, I'm like, well, that's going to be easy. And then Thanksgiving, they were wiping the floor with us. Mm-hmm.
The Bears have spent a lot of money in free agency, and they're also going to draft Caleb Williams. But newsflash, bust.
Who they got a wide receiver? They got DJ Moore because they just got
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen, yeah. Which you know he's old. He's good, but I feel terrible. He's getting old. He's 32.
Right
for football. That is
right. Right. Absolutely. Well, I got news for 8-9. They missed the playoffs. All right, Brian. Thanks for showing up. I appreciate you coming. I look forward to seeing you at some vintage event this year. I don't know what's going on.
I look forward to seeing you at all of your vintage events this year. I think I'm going to be at like 5 or 6 of your guys' 8 games.
Yeah, you guys are going to Gettysburg on your own respect this year. I saw it on your schedule.
Yes, yeah, that was a late addition for us, but we started talking and everybody was like, "Hey, that was fun. Let's do that again."
In my bag, I carry around. I still got my marbles. My marbles card from like 3 years ago. Maybe I get to sign it one day.
Oh, God. Well, I was glad to be here during this love fest. You too.
I'm sure I'll hear nothing about this as the season goes on.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Roll Around the Barrel Show. You can find us on the Podbean or anywhere else just about you could find podcasts. Also, go to our YouTube channel. You can see Brian Parker in action in some of our past video presentations, and you'll be able to catch this interview on the YouTube. I don't think Rudy's going to deal with that. There's no video. So sorry about that, Rudy. I almost made work for you. That shouldn't exist. But
we'll just play the 2024 championship game with this on in the background.
Yeah.
23. Sorry, the one on the Flat Rock.
You know, that's a great idea, Mike. Not that one specifically, but sitting down with some of these videos we have of Greenfield matches and sitting down with people that were involved in the matches and reliving. Instead of listening to my commentary,
yes,
listen to my new commentary as I interview people there about the match.
Yep.
Sounds like a lot of work. Not going to happen. All right. See everybody.